I'm excited to talk to you gentlemen for several reasons. First of all, it allows us to get some quality day drinking done. And I'm also delighted to find out how long you've been ruining Father's Day and why have you decided to do it again this year?
We've been ruining Father's Day even before we were fathers.
Ruining it for our own fathers, I would think. I'm sure I disappointed my dad in many ways.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 914, Ruining Father's Day.
Chicago is not New York. They're entitled to their own opinion. But I say, if I say it's New York, it's New York.
This Sunday night, Mark Nutter and Tom Wolfe will bring their special blend of comedy and music to Mrs. Murphy and Sons Irish Bistro in Chicago in an evening entitled Another Father's Day Ruined. Separately and together, Nutter and Wolfe have written for the stage and screen, including Reanimator the Musical and The Bicycle Men, for which Nutter wrote the music and lyrics, and the play Early and Often, Wolfe's comedy about Chicago politics that he wrote with his wife Barb Wallace. Together, Mark and Tom collaborated on the stage play Wild Men, their early 90s parody of Robert Bly's Iron John and the so-called Men's Movement, and the screenplay Almost Heroes, which starred Chris Farley and Matthew Perry. I was excited to talk to Mark and Tom about their work, and I began by asking whether this Sunday's show was motivated by a desire to explore the theme of Father's Day or by the date Mrs. Murphy's happened to be available.
That was the date.
Yeah, it was pure coincidence, and it's also a 6:30 show, so, you know, since I'm in bed by 8 these days, it couldn't have been better.
Yeah, another way to ruin Father's Day is make me come to a 10 p.m. show. Well, and you're doing it at a great venue, Mrs. Murphy's Pub, which does a great Reuben. I think, Tom, you and I agree on the Reuben.
Yes, absolutely.
Do I call you guys writing partners, performing partners, domestic partners? How do you define your relationship?
Well, we've been writing partners in the past, going back almost 30 years, off and on.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's true. More writing than performing. I was trying to recall the occasions when we've actually performed together, and there are very few.
The Opera House in Chicago?
That's right.
That sounds very prestigious.
It was. It was a Bridget Murphy did an Orchid show. They wanted to bring in, the Lyric Opera wanted to bring in younger audiences. So they had us go up in our 40s.
Naturally, we think of Wolf and Nutter.
It was a treat. So we ruined opera for many people in addition to Father's Day. And it was a blast. I mean, you know, number one, just being on that stage and looking out. And Tom, I forget what the construction of the bit was.
It was that we had pitched, this was, I guess, 1999 or something. We had pitched a thing called, a long opera called The American Century. And then we gave, and since they hadn't gotten back to us, the conceit was I was going out on stage and saying, well, we're just going to force this down your throats. And Mark, who's a great songwriter, wrote a few little short things. We used some other stuff that he had. And, yeah, we ruined several things. Gershwin, specifically, we did, was it Bess You Is My Woman Now?
The parody of Bess You Is My Woman Now. And our little act was followed by a couple of legitimate opera singers singing Bess You Is My Woman Now.
Thank God you guys went first. But you wrote, you guys, I'm right about this, right? You also wrote Wild Men. The two of you collaborated on Wild Men.
Oh, that's true. So it's over 30 years. You're right. Yeah, it's like 1991 or something. Yes.
True.
Yay me. And without even a glance at a Wikipedia page.
I have none. So, you know, that would have been a wasted effort.
We were barely with Mark. I was with Rob Riley and Pete Burns writing it in Chicago, and Mark was giving notes and pitches and writing some scenes, and then but he was writing all the music in New York, so we weren't actually in the same room. Maybe that's why I forgot about that.
But we did that research trip, if you recall, to Lake Geneva.
Yeah.
Is that where you crawled in an Iron John hut to escape your manhood or whatever?
No, it's where we almost died. We had the idea of drinking all night and then taking a boat out, and the boat would not start. We were at our friend Pete's friend's place, and we kept trying to start, and we said it was the hand of God pulling us back to the dock over and over.
Did this make it into the show?
No.
Well, you made it back. You made it back to shore.
Yes, we did go see Robert Bly. Mark wasn't there.
That was wild. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. I'm sorry I missed with Bly. We boned up on our Iron John, but these guys really boned up more than I boned up.
Can you say we boned up on our Iron John?
Dee and I were doing a cross-country drive, and we listened to Robert Bly doing his own audiobook of that book. And we still quote it to this day, because his storytelling trope was to say, I'm going back to the story now, and he can't pronounce his O's, so they were all W's. We made it across country. Let's just say that.
The highlight of going to this thing was... First he had to go through this drum circle and stuff and all this. But it was in Skokie, and then we were in theater seats. And he came up and said, okay, everyone, tell me what bothers you. What bothers you? And a guy stands up and he goes, I don't like my job. And then the women in my life don't listen to me, okay? And then you? I feel powerless. I feel powerless. And then the third guy stands up and goes, I have a cure for brain cancer. I work at Northwestern, and no one will listen to me. And he goes, okay, brain cancer next. What do you got?
Not one person stood up and said, I hate audience participation. So the excuse or the reason for this current show is that you're performing on Father's Day. Does that also dictate the theme and the scenes you'll be writing and or songs you'll be singing?
Oh, I'd like to say yes, but the answer is no. Although we are doing some Father's Day related music.
Very good.
We
in the sense of Mark by himself will be doing Father's Day music.
Oh no, I'm going to coerce Tom into participating in this particular musical number.
Lovely. Do you know about this yet, Tom?
I do. It's a very, very, very short song.
It is.
The best kind.
And we're going to do it very, very fast.
Well, and speaking of your songs, Mark, your music, you were good enough to give us a CD, again, in the early days of podcasting, so maybe 15, 18 years ago, 16 years ago, and your CD became a go-to music for our kids' carpools. They loved your songs because we had also taken our kids to see Bicycle Men.
Edinburgh, yes, you were there.
That's right. We were there, and we had the audacity to sit in the front row with our children, including Daisy, who was, I think, just a babe in arms. And I think it might have squashed some of the laughs because people in the back were going, this is really funny, but why are those two children sitting in the front row for whom this show is wildly inappropriate?
Yeah, but unfortunately, it didn't quash her career, though. No. And she's still acting, right? She's treading the boards.
Yeah, your show and your CD has driven one of my children, at least, to the dark side of show business. So thanks so much, Mark Nutter.
You're very welcome. Well, you know, next time I do a musical, I'll call her.
Please. The girl needs a gig, always. Because I'm a
Dratch, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2024, we'll be performing the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Illinois, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Colorado. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Mark Nutter and Tom Wolfe, who will be performing an evening of stories and songs called Another Father's Day Ruined this Sunday night at Mrs. Murphy and Son's Irish Bistro in Chicago.
One of the shows we did last year, as we begin to crawl back from the pandemic, was our show, The Comedy of Hamlet, a Prequel. And we've, in 3 years since we workshopped it in 2019, we've done literally only about a dozen performances because of the pandemic. So we did our first show back last year in 2023, and the young actor, so maybe he's 30, the young actor playing Hamlet, right before we went on one night, said, "All right, good luck, you guys. Let's have fun out there. As my father used to say, white water in the morning." And that's it. And I went, "Wait, what is that from?" He said, "It's from an amazing movie called Almost Heroes." I said, "Are you kidding me? I know the men who wrote that movie." Is so. Congratulations on being so instrumental to this, influential to this young 30-something actor that he's quoting it backstage at shows. How does that make you feel, Tom Wolfe?
Another person's life ruined by our work.
That's amazing. That's an outstanding joke written by Tom Wolfe and beautifully delivered by Hamilton Camp. Who kind of hits his mark on that. You know, it's not a perfect comedy by any means. But it has its high points, and that's one of them.
I love the phrase, "not a perfect comedy," is doing so much heavy lifting there.
Well, you know, we're always kind of amazed when people respond positively to it. I mean, you know, every now and then we'll bump into somebody who said, "My favorite Farley comedy. I love this," and they'll quote lines back to us. You like read reviews maybe of the DVD online, and it's like, "Oh, this is underrated. This, you know, it's been underrated by many top critics."
I believe all of them at the time.
I was on a flight a couple of years after it had been released, in business class, and sitting next to me was Leonard Maltin.
Wow.
And he'd given the movie such a shitty review that I could not even bear to look at the man.
Wow.
I was still taking it personally, apparently. But I don't think I would have wanted to chat with Leonard Maltin anyway.
No, I know. Although what a gratifying thing to say, "Leonard, it's so great to meet you. I'm Mark Nutter. I wrote Almost Heroes."
Yeah, and see how honest he would have been, or if he would have felt any need at all to be nice.
Well, the amazing thing was, we were the first writers to ever be disappointed by the final product, you know, that we loved the screenplay, and I believe we were the first writers who were ever saddened and disappointed by what actually showed up on the screen.
You're right. That is such a rare phenomenon, you know.
Well, we couldn't say, "Oh, you know, it wasn't a script that went through a lot of rewrites," uh-huh. Because it went through none. I mean, you know, only us. Yeah.
And our agent rightly said, "Stay on this movie. This is going to be a huge movie. So just do pretty much take some notes." And we took notes. It didn't help the movie, the notes.
They did not. And I don't know. I still, you know, when all the unpleasantness fades, you know, I have pleasant memories. But we really live that reality of the second class status that Hollywood writers have. They did a rewrite of one of our, or a read through of one of our rewrites, and we were not invited.
Oh dear.
They had a closing party, wrap party, mm-hmm. And they forgot to invite us.
Oh dear.
Oh, really? We just kind of heard secondhand. Oh, yeah, they had a nice part.
Well, and this can't be your fault, but both Chris Farley and Matthew Perry are dead now. So, but I can't, that can't be put on you, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Where were
I don't believe we shortened their lives in any way.
No, I think they were responsible for that themselves. Yes. You know, we can't take credit for that.
No, that seems very fair. But it did. That's interesting. Did that experience? I guess it didn't. That experience did not make either one of you want to go, all right, goddammit, I need to direct our screenplays from now on.
Not me. No, I think our third writing partner, Boyd, it might have had that, because he directed a small film that was really pretty good. It's good. And so he might have had that. That just sounds like a lot of work. That sounds like a lot of work.
It sounds like, yeah, you make micro decisions from...
On the daily, on the minute, hourly.
Yeah, do you like this belt for this extra? We got a choice of 8 belts here. Which one do you want?
My wife Barb and I had already directed a couple pilots by then, too. And it's not the same, but you're the showrunner, so you're sort of running the pilot. And the questions that, yeah, exactly, same thing, 10 pair of sunglasses, the actor wants these. Well, it's like, well, that has nothing to do with the character. Well, the actor thinks he can make that character. I was like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, wow. So suddenly I have to care. So what it has done, though, is make you take ownership of your music and sketch work, so now you're not entrusting it to anybody, you're performing it yourselves.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, I don't think we're going to get notes beforehand on Father's Day. But I don't know. Maybe, you know.
That would be awful. Mark, I have some thoughts.
Tom, yeah? Yeah. No. I mean, this is mostly, it's sort of sad and embarrassing to do old material, I feel. But then these are things that, like, some things I'm doing, I've done sometimes a D show once, and a couple other things I've done maybe 4 or 5 times in years. So I thought, well, my kids haven't heard these, and I'm dragging them to this thing on Father's Day. So let me dust these off one more time and bring them out.
I'm going to do a song I wrote 45 years ago. And, but it's not like I've done it consistently over 45 years. It pops up now and then. I did a thing at Second City, not EDC, what's the comedy club there?
The Up Comedy Club?
Up Comedy Club, yeah. It was like Bob Odenkirk hosted a voter registration thing. And I did like 4 old songs. Uh-huh. Old to me, and I was old to the audience as well. But they had no idea. You know, it's the first time out. I was thinking about, because I do these Christmas shows as well in Los Angeles with Cynthia Carl. It's called Christmas Smackdown. And I've been doing the same kind of Christmas parody songs for 15 years that we've been doing it. And every year I say, do I really want, do the people want to hear this again? Yeah. And then I thought, I saw Mick Jagger at, the Jazz Fest. And I'm like, does he get tired of doing Satisfaction? Because I'm sure he's still doing Satisfaction whatever, he's 128 years old. But no, it's still...
You're right. It's new to the people who've never seen it before, and as a guy who has made his living trotting out the same scripts he's been doing for 30 years, I applaud your efforts, by a God.
And I have no energy to create new material, certainly not between now and Father's Day.
Years ago, Bill Hicks, who's a respected comic, I opened for him. And,
wow.
And he pulled me aside and said, you write jokes as well as anyone I've ever heard. You just need to find a way to perform them. And I went home that night, like, I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then by the morning, it was like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Because I'd seen Emo go through, like, a bunch of incarnations of himself. And it's like, do I want to do this so bad? And it's about then that I said, I'm just going to write. This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm sensing a theme in your work here, Tom.
Laziness,
yeah. Steve Martin in the Steve Martin documentary said it took him 15 years to finally figure out, the wild and crazy guy thing that had him play stadiums eventually. But I don't have 15 years anymore.
No.
I didn't have 15 years.
No, I never did. Yeah. Maybe when I was 15, I had 15 years.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Mark Nutter and Tom Wolfe will be performing another Father's Day Ruined this Sunday night at Mrs. Murphy's & Sons Irish Bistro in Chicago. Go to solosunday.com for more information. Then send us the things you've ruined via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or visit my website, TheShakespeareance.com. Mark will be selling his books and CDs at the show, or you can visit his website, MarkNutter.com, and buy something there and ruin somebody's Father's Day yourself. Thanks, as always, to Father of More Than He Signed Up For, Matthew Croak. Web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and this week by Mark Nutter, whose song If I Say It, It's New York played at the beginning of our conversation. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to George Sorrell. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Rachel Dratch, and as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 914 2740 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I have a website also. It's nytimes.com, and a bunch of assholes write on it.
I've read the comments. Not a fan.
It's funny, though. It's, you know, it's very funny.
I've said multiple times in recent weeks in these podcast interviews that the only thing that would make those conversations better is if we could have them in a pub. And here we are having them in a pub.
Outside of a pub, but even better.
Even better outside, next to a train and a crying baby.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.